Coming up on today's show.
I remember sitting at a table with my wife one time telling her the things I'm reading, and she looked at me and said, "We're going to become Catholic, aren't we?" And I was like, "No, that'll never happen. Like, they're heretics."
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can sign up there for free for the weekly e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. You'll see the box approximately halfway down the homepage with a header that says newsletter. And you just put in your email address and your name, check the opt-in box, and then hit the blue subscribe button. Although, check your email then, as I'm pretty sure it sends you an email to confirm having signed up. At the top of the website, and actually even through links in the newsletter, you can link over to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me in the show that way. I do hope you have joined or will join the Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of the show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And of course, social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. How many times in sports has there been a major trade that has sent a city into an absolute frenzy in anticipation of that athlete pulling on their team's jersey to play for them? I'm thinking of the blockbuster trade in the NHL back in the day that sent Wayne Gretzky from the Edmonton Oilers to the Los Angeles Kings. More recently, we saw Aaron Rodgers put down his Packers jersey after 18 years in Green Bay and become the quarterback for the New York Jets. When Tom Brady came here to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after all his years in New England, it wasn't by way of a trade, but it had just as much impact and significance. Fans get so anxious waiting and waiting for the new star to come to their city. Ticket sales go through the roof, and the countdown is on to when they will finally get to see the new acquisition play for their team for the first time. This is all totally understandable, but looking at our faith life, we should have this same, well, far more enthusiasm for our Lord and Savior. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, quote, "Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest owns and coaches at Mixed Martial Arts Gym and runs an acupuncture sports medicine clinic. He has been training in martial arts for 30 years, having started in karate and gotten his black belt in Khoikhon karate at just 14 years old. He eventually trained in Wing Chun and practiced and taught it for 10 years and got a black belt in it as well. Along the way, he dabbled in different martial arts like kendo, freestyle wrestling, judo, and others, eventually finding his way into the world of MMA. He is now a fifth degree black belt in SGC karate and kickboxing and a blue belt in BJJ. He recently started a line of Catholic-themed athletic clothing called Catholic Fightwear. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Brian Duncan.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
You bet, you bet. In the lead-up to today, you mentioned in an email to me that you live in East Tennessee, but where are you from originally? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size when you were growing up?
Yeah, originally I was from Michigan, the Metro Detroit area. We call it the Metro, but it's a little bit outside, about an hour from Detroit. And I grew up, it was just my one brother and I.
Ah, he's older than you or younger?
He's older than me by about 2 years. Yeah.
We're going to hear your conversion story later in our discussion, but you don't come from a Catholic household. Tell the audience what faith you did grow up in.
I actually grew up as Baptist. There's a wide variety of those, but we were what was called Southern Baptist.
Okay. Ironically enough, being way up in the north.
It makes no sense.
In the intro, we heard all about nothing but martial arts. When and how did you first start into sports, and did you ever participate in anything other than martial arts sports-wise?
Yeah, I started playing sports when, specifically doing martial arts when I was about four. I actually wanted to be a Power Ranger and a ninja, ironically. And so I kind of bugged my parents, and there was a guy at our church that ran a karate school, so they got me into that. And I've done that ever since. I also played some baseball as a kid and soccer. I actually did soccer all the way through high school and was on the varsity team as a goalie. I enjoyed that. A little bit of other sports here and there, like basketball. But for me, it was mainly always karate and judo. That was kind of the big thing for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because once you said Metro Detroit area, I right away start going through my head football, baseball, hockey, basketball, I mean, two MLB teams for that matter. So I'm thinking at some point he's going to say he played one or more of those four sports. And so lo and behold, you did have one or two of those in there. But it sounds like you said, martial arts from age four, my gosh.
Yeah, that was really the big draw for me. I liked playing other sports, but it was never... they weren't as interesting, you know. You couldn't become a ninja playing baseball, so.
Well, I admire your commitment to that sport, though, because, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that you can participate in martial arts as an organized sports through your school in grammar school and high school. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's all outside at independent organizations. And so my parents had to pay for that for years. And at one point, my dad actually lost his job. And the teacher at the school I was at allowed me to come in, and I would clean the gym and help with the little kids classes, like with the kindergartners and stuff like that, and do all this work to basically pay my tuition so I could keep going. And I did that for like 10 years, just working basically to pay for it.
Whoa. You got your master's and doctorate in acupuncture and herbal medicine. It would seem like by that point in your life, you had already made up your mind that you were set on making sports, meaning martial arts, I guess, specifically sports medicine, your career, especially considering you'd already gotten your first black belt at age 14. Is that a safe assumption, meaning the career path you were carving out once you were getting your master's and your doctorate?
I always had a dream since I was about 10 years old that I wanted to run a dojo. But in between there, I actually had set out to be a pastor, which I'll talk about more later as we get into my conversion story. And so that was actually a big part of my life for a while. But after that, by the time I got into my master's and doctorate, yeah, that was like my goal was to run a sports medicine clinic and do martial arts. And that's what I'm setting out to do.
Well, it's interesting because there you were at 4 years old saying, I'm already interested in being a Power Ranger and following through and getting into all these different combat sports and martial arts. And a lot of those kind of boyhood dreams that we all have when we're little, I want to be Superman, I want to be Batman, I want to be a firefighter. Most of those don't come true. And in a roundabout way, you more or less held that path.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Even now, I started a gym and it's been going pretty well. And I've seen God's providence where I had a friend of mine come in who wanted to invest in it and kind of become a co-owner. And so we're actually like building up the MMA gym this year and getting a bigger gym and putting more into marketing. And it's just interesting because I never thought it'd really be a career that I could support my family on. And yet God just keeps providing. And it's like, he's just like, yeah, I'm happy to have you do this.
Wow. So since you mentioned it in there, let's go ahead and have you start into your conversion story. When did you start to consider leaving the faith that you were raised in?
My whole conversion was probably a good decade-long journey. I grew up in a Protestant home that was pretty faithful. You know, we went to church every Sunday. We would go on Wednesdays. They had these groups that would meet every Wednesday at the church. Like I said, I grew up Southern Baptist. My grandfather was actually a church planter is what they're called. So he would travel around and start new churches in different areas. And so I kind of wanted to live up to that name. And, I was very into my faith and into studying theology from a young age, grew up in these private Baptist schools. And eventually I decided, you know, I'm going to be a pastor. And so I went to a Bible school briefly, which is kind of like a seminary. They'll call them Bible institutes or whatever. But you go in and you specifically, like, the only thing you do there is train to be a pastor. So you'll take courses on pastoral studies and systematic theology. And I began to study biblical languages while I was there. And so at about 17 years old, I had started that. And I was learning some Greek and Hebrew. And that got me introduced into the world of the church fathers. And that was really kind of the big shift and change for me, where I realized there was this whole trend of theology that I had never heard before. And what was interesting about that is growing up, basically all you hear in at least in the circles I grew up in was all these modern theologians that are 1800s, 1900s. And I found, like, oh my goodness, there's theologians from the first century, the second century, and you can read their writings. How amazing is that? So I actually got really, really into church history at a young age, and it was a long journey from there. But I essentially found myself disagreeing with a lot of Baptist theology at the time, because I couldn't wrap my head around the idea that the people who were students of the apostles would misunderstand them, but us, you know, 1800 years later, knew better. And that to me was just logically inconsistent.
Stop me if I'm getting ahead of myself, but how was this going over with your family? Or was it, oh, they had no idea, this was all just very internal, that I was feeling the way I was feeling?
It was very internal. By that point in time, my parents, they had become, you know, I don't want to say they lost their faith, but it's like they didn't go to church every week. It wasn't as important to them. And even the idea of me becoming a pastor, they weren't really against it, but they weren't super supportive either. And so I think my dad was actually, like, eventually I got into some discrepancies at the churches I was at. I was interning as a youth pastor. I did that, for about 3 years just to kind of try it out. So I was like an assistant youth pastor there, for about 2-3 years, just to see if I like it, to see if I wanted to get ordained and get, kind of into the whole thing as a proper youth pastor. And eventually I just kind of left because the discrepancies got really big. Mm. And if anything, my parents were kind of happy, because they always felt like I wasn't going to make any money or do anything successful as a pastor.
Interesting.
And so, they were kind of happy, but
interesting.
It was a little hard during that period. I would say some of my friendships got a little fractured. Mm. You know, it was a little difficult to maintain kind of the same relationships with my theology fracturing and shifting so much compared to the rigidness of what the church I grew up in had. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of interesting.
Folks, if you did not hear my interview last week with former NFL quarterback Brooks Bollinger, do go back and listen to that. He was drafted by the New York Jets and also went on to play for the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys, as well as in the United Football League. Plus, he later did some high school and college coaching, and the latter was a real turning point in his life in terms of having to make a big decision that would impact his family. I'll just leave it there and not spoil the rest of it for you. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to last week's interview with Brooks Bollinger. Also on last week's show, I raised the question of if we should start a listener mail segment on this show. So do let me know your thoughts on that. I rely on your feedback because I want the time that you spend listening to and interacting with this show to be enjoyable and beneficial. You might say, nah, the show is really great already. Bruce, you're doing a fantastic job. I love Catholic Sports Radio. Well, if I hear that enough, maybe I'll consider submitting the show to the Catholic Media Association for consideration for a Gabriel Award. I recently got an email saying that the submission period is now open. The deadline to enter is January 31st. There are a couple of challenges for me, though. One is time, meaning you need to pick out 3 episodes to submit in the best podcast category, not to mention fill out and submit the entry form. The other challenge is the cost. There's a $150 entry fee. As you know, this is a ministry for me, and I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I'm challenged to somehow cover any and all expenses out of my own pocket. If you would like to help cover that $150 cost so I can submit this show for the Catholic Media Association's Gabriel Awards, and by the way, how ironic is it that the deadline is January 31st, which is the day before Catholic Sports Radio will hit its 5-year anniversary. Anyhow, if you want to help, thank you, and I would point you to the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, where you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button that you'll see there. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and I like that you get to type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning that there's not a list of predetermined amounts to have to choose from. If 10 people gave $15 each, or if 3 people gave $50 each, or heck, if one person wants to send the whole $150, then I can enter Catholic Sports Radio for a Gabriel Award. Incidentally, for those that are a little hesitant about putting credit card information online, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Brian, before all that, you were telling us about the beginning of your move away from your faith that you were raised in. Please continue that now so we can learn about how and when you eventually came into the Catholic Church.
Yeah, so as I was saying, I got really into the Church Fathers, and it was kind of really changing my theology. And so I moved down from the church that I was interning at, and we kind of – I was married at that time. My wife and I jumped around to a few different churches. One big change for me was just seeing how prevalent the idea of infant baptism was throughout church history, especially inside the early church. Mm. And as a Baptist, that's not something we do. We're very against that. We only baptize people who are older and can profess the faith. Mm. And so that's where I had grown up. And then that shift came for me, and it was like now I identified as this entirely, you know, different group in terms of my theology. And eventually we became Lutheran, because I was really becoming convinced of sacramental theology, the idea of a real presence, the salvific grace that's inside of baptism, so regenerative baptism, and a lot of these Catholic ideas. But I couldn't bring myself to be Catholic because, you know, I'd always been taught that they were heretics and hellbound, and, you know, that basically the Pope was the Antichrist. And so that was a big hurdle to overcome.
Wow.
And we were Lutheran for quite a while. And eventually, what happened is I was talking with some friends of mine, some Lutheran pastors, and we had this conversation about writing a book to convert Catholics to Lutheranism. Mm. So that we could, you know, stop them believing these heresies. And so I was kind of stepped up and was like, oh, I'm going to write this book. And so to do it, I got myself a Catholic catechism because I wanted to know exactly what the church taught and not just give like my version of it or what I'd heard from other people. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading the Catholic Catechism, I was struck by the fact that so much of it lined up with the Church Fathers in ways that I'd never imagined. Like I even when I was reading the Church Fathers, I was picking here and there the things that I wanted out of context that supported my opinions. But the Catechism took the Church Fathers as a whole. It took Scripture as a whole. And I found myself disagreeing with very little. I had some struggle with things like Marian doctrines, a little bit with the papacy. But so much of it was just very comforting to me. And I saw this real cohesion and not a denial of the history of the church. And that really stuck out to me. And so about 2 years into researching to write that book, I found that I couldn't really deny Catholic teaching anymore, and I couldn't argue against it because I was agreeing with it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a big shift. And I remember sitting at a table with my wife one time telling her the things I'm reading, and she looked at me and said, "We're going to become Catholic, aren't we?" And I was like, "No, that'll never happen. Like, they're heretics." And
let's blasphemy, you know, sure, get out of this house.
Yeah. It's like, "What are you talking about?" And we sold that house, and we were staying with her parents for a little bit. And I remember we were supposed to be going to church with her grandfather, and this is about 3 years into the point where I'm reading the Catholic Catechism, and I've been reading some theology from like Thomas Aquinas. St. Francis de Sales was huge in my conversion, and I find myself waking up on a Sunday morning, and I hand my wife the keys, and I said, "You can take the kids to church with your grandfather, but I can't do it anymore. I have to go to Mass."
Wow. Like,
it just, the draw in my heart is so strong. Ugh. I feel like I'll die if I don't go.
Wow.
So I walked over to the local parish, and I attended Mass for the first time with an actual interest in being Catholic.
Mm.
And the most amazing thing is the next week, my wife came with me.
What year was this, by the way?
This was in Milford, Michigan. So the parish was St. Mary's. It was 2018, I think.
Okay.
So that was just, it was a huge thing. And to have my wife support me, you know, even to this day, people will ask her, like, why did you convert? And she'll just say, like, because I trust my husband. Like, God put him there, and I've trusted him so far. Oh. And I just know he won't mislead me in that.
Wow, beautiful.
And I always feel like her conversion story is more powerful than mine, because I spent a decade thinking about this and reasoning through it and hesitating, and my wife just had faith. And that's always an amazing thing to me. And so that year, we joined RCIA at the local parish, and you know, we became Catholic at the Easter Vigil, I think 2019. And yeah, we've been Catholic ever since.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the faith of a mustard seed, and in my head I'm going, well, would that be him or would that be his wife? And I'm going, maybe the wife, but you know.
I think it's the wife. If anyone's on the path to sainthood, it's her, not me.
So getting back to sports for a minute, because I want to keep your faith and sports journeys on parallel roads. Now that we've heard about the conversion in your faith life, update the audience on what you were dealing with in your work life, because this I know is going to have faith components too, meaning I'm sure a lot of prayer went into what you're going to describe was happening. You were running a gym in Michigan for about 8 years, and then COVID hit. So pick up the story from there, because I said at the start of our conversation that present day you actually live in East Tennessee.
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur by trade is how I describe myself. So I have I actually also run a yo-yo company, yoyotricks.com, and that's a ton of fun. So literally like the toy yo-yo, that's what we make and sell.
Yeah.
And so I had a couple businesses. I had an acupuncture practice and a jiu-jitsu or an MMA school. We did jiu-jitsu and karate. And then I had this yo-yo company. And when COVID hit, things shut down pretty hard up there. And without getting into politics, just what happened to me, the way that I was affected is two of my businesses basically went out of business. I didn't have any money in my acupuncture clinic or in my MMA gym anymore, because I didn't have anyone who would come. And so I had to shut those down. Thankfully for us, this yo-yo company was online. And so that was like still bringing us some income, but I was pretty, distraught. And my wife we used to live in Denver while I got my degree in acupuncture, and she always wanted to go back to the mountains. And I was kind of upset and didn't really want to start any more businesses in Michigan, because I felt like the government had kind of put me out of business.
I see.
And so we were praying about it, and we sold our house because we couldn't afford it anymore. Mm-hmm. And what happened is we went on vacation to East Tennessee with some friends. They have a cabin down here. And like on the way down, we're driving through the mountains, and my wife just says, I want to live here.
Mm. Wow.
And I was like, well, I guess we can do that because we don't have anything tying us to Michigan anymore. And so, you know, our house was sold. And so we just started looking, and we found a house down here in East Tennessee on a little homestead. We've got about 5 acres. We have 7 children. So we run this small little farm, and we moved our yo-yo company down. And I actually had no intention of starting a new business. I was just going to try to build the yo-yos, work on my farm, simplify our life. We cut our costs a lot. And then I start going to church down here, and I have meet a friend there, and he's got this building where he's running a massage clinic. And he's like, hey, you know, we could use someone who does some sports medicine or can help treat chronic pain and stuff. And I said, I don't really want to do it. He just kept bugging me. He's like, well, pray about it. And he's like, I won't charge you any rent. Just come in and get started. I was like, all right. I mean, I guess I shouldn't look an opportunity like that and throw it away. And so I started up this practice. And then a few weeks later, he says, I've got this other room in the building that's empty, and you do martial arts, and I've always wanted my son to learn, start a gym. And I was like, no, I'm not starting a gym. Sure enough, a couple weeks later, there I am starting a gym. And it kind of blew up. We actually opened the gym in January. And, you know, we prayed about it, and we really had to change some of what we were planning on doing with our life to open it, but it was a great opportunity. Mm. And within 7 months, you know, the old Hebrew name of God, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, right? Like 7 months later, we have 60 students. I've got a friend coming in to invest. We're actually about to sign on a lease now here in November for a building three times the size of what we're in. Oh. And it's like just been a huge opportunity for us to grow.
Fantastic. Yeah. Wow. Audience, if you would have seen the hairs standing up on my arm when he was saying that his wife said, let's move here as they're driving through, right at that point in the story, like I literally felt and saw the hairs go up on my arm because I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit at that time. And you see in this story that Brian just told that the Lord's handprints were all over this because had they not sold the house in Michigan, right, then I mean, all the doors opened, no pun intended, for them to be able to make this move. And I kind of kept thinking in my head, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. And so here's all these opportunities, you know, come and do this sports medicine for me. I have a room for it. I got a son that I want to learn martial arts. Come and teach him. And the way that this just kept growing and growing, you could see, and it goes back to the beginning of the interview and this desire at the age of four to be a Power Ranger and a ninja. And the way that Brian said that, yeah, you know, in fact, my career did kind of go that way, you know, going to college and getting his doctorate and everything. And now you see where it led present day. And so while we're at present day, Brian, in the lead up to today, you made a statement to me that, quote, coaching is actually what I love doing the most, more so than competing, end quote. I don't want to steal your thunder, so elaborate on that, because your reasoning to me is a very Christian one, even if it might not be so obvious on the surface.
Yeah, so I grew up competing in karate. That was a big thing, and I actually did some amateur kickboxing fights, and you know, I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed going out there and being a champion. I became a karate grand champion there in the state of Michigan in their karate circuit. You know, I did all these things and it feels good. Like it builds up your confidence and all of those things. And I remember how good it felt for me, but I started having kids. And as I mentioned, I have seven kids. And so I've got every single one of them trains. And my oldest daughter, the first time I took her to a competition, she lost. And so then we went back home and we kept working just in our home mats, her and her sister. And she went and she won, I think, second place out of like eight kids. And watching her have that same feeling was just huge to me. And I found that through coaching, like I can help other people build their confidence. I can help other people just affect their lives in positive ways. And that to me has been far more powerful to me as a person than being a champion myself, helping other people become champions, but not just champions in something like MMA, but extending the opportunity to be able to affect people's lives on a moral and theological level and lift their gaze, I guess, up to heaven, especially. And so at my gym, actually, you know, thinking about God's providence, we have, I think about 95% of our students are Catholic. And which is just absolutely phenomenal. So we get to do all these cool Catholic feasts there. Like we'll have parties and stuff. And you just see this strong group of kids that are growing together in their faith through martial arts. And I've had some young people, like there's one young man there who I've been able to spend a lot of time talking to and kind of coaching and being, you know, just an influence in his life and seeing a tremendous change in him where through the martial arts, the discipline, I guess, and the strength and fortitude that he's built, as well as just getting some wisdom and some encouragement from friends and having a part in that myself, I've seen him, you know, go from someone who didn't have any aims or goals in life to someone who's now more confident. He's got his life on track. He's making decisions to pick up a career. He's working now, you know, and he's much happier and he sees God's providence in his life and he's becoming dedicated. He's got himself into things like fasting and like working on taming his body spiritually. And that to me is just an amazing thing. So coaching is so much more enriching to me than being a competitor, because when I'm a competitor, I lift myself up. But when I'm a coach, I get to lift up an innumerable amount of people.
I love it. I love it. Bravo. Bravo. I do want to give you a chance to talk too about this newest initiative of yours, Catholic Fightwear.
Yeah. So that, in jiu-jitsu and in MMA, a lot of times we wear what are called rash guards, which are kind of like spandex shirts as well as like pants and shorts to fight in. So without the big thick like karate gi that you would think of or judo gi. And so those rash guards, there's a lot of companies out there that make them. And, you know, they're kind of just pagan in origin. And I don't mean to say that necessarily in a bad way, but like you'll find them out there. Some of them just have, you know, designs on them that are like flowers or mountains, but a lot of them, you know, to try to make them look cool and tough, you would find these designs that have like Zeus on them or some other Greek god or something like that.
I see.
And they look really cool, which is why a lot of people like them. But I have, like I said, about 95% of my students are Catholic, and these parents were coming to me and they're like, I don't really want my kid wearing that. It'd be cool if we could find some Catholic themed ones. And I thought, you know, we don't have to look outside our faith to find things that are inspiring or strong. I think sometimes we tend to think that we do, like we can't find something that looks really tough. And I thought, no, we can do this. And so I just used my background from my business experience and my entrepreneur experience, and I started this line of fight clothing. And so if you go on our website, CatholicFightwear.com, you'll see we've got clothing for, it's not just for martial arts, but we also have clothing for general athletics as well. I'm trying to slowly expand, but it's all Catholic themes. So you'll see like one of them is St. Michael slaying the dragon. We have one of Blessed Yusto Ukon Takayama, who is the only samurai, who's an actual samurai in Japan, who converted and became a martyr for the faith, as well as just many, many others. The one that's my wife's favorite, we have, it's called the Passion Rash Guard, and it's just got, it's mainly black with a little bit of color, but it just has the crown of thorns and the nails on it. And then the word passion on it. And I like that one. I designed it for her because jiu-jitsu has become like this passion for her, you know, and then using that to just always reflect and minister on the passion of Christ, I think is kind of a cool thing. And so that was the idea and the onus behind why I started it. And it's slowly growing into a little bit of success. So it's pretty exciting for us.
Congratulations. So cool. And I love that you said we don't have to look outside our faith for inspiration. I would argue the same for Catholic Sports Radio, that I'm just as big a sports fan as I think the rest of you who listen to this show probably are. And Fox Sports, ESPN, I'm all about that stuff. But I want Catholic Sports Radio to inspire you to your faith. We've got enough stimuli around us to get us passionate and ingrained in our sports team or our sports teams or the ones that we're rooting for, the ones we're coaching in, the ones we're playing for. But let's root for ourselves in our Catholic life and let's immerse ourselves into the Catholic faith. Brian has done such a wonderful job on this episode of some really great storytelling, some really great witness. And Brian, I want to close. You've mentioned your family a good bit, but your wife's name, maybe how the two of you met, how long you've been in the sacrament of holy matrimony. And you mentioned seven kids, but the breakdown of boys and girls, what's the age range? Let's just meet your family a little bit before we wrap up.
Yeah, so my wife's name is Kaylee. We met in high school, actually. We were friends for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before we started dating. So I had actually graduated high school a year early, and we started dating. She was finishing up her senior year. And then we got married. I was 19, so she must have been, had just turned 20. And we had our first kid right away. And so now it's been 13 years, I think, because my oldest is 13 there. And so we have seven kids. We have three girls, two boys, and then two more girls. And I'm not sure if we're done or not, but we enjoy having all those kids. And like I said, we've built a family around training. And so it's neat to see all the kids share something in commonality. They share their faith, and then they share the sport that they do together. And yeah, it's been a huge blessing for us.
So if the oldest is 13, how young is the youngest?
Our youngest is 3 months old, almost 4 months old.
Adorable. Adorable.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the launch of Catholic Fightwear. I enjoyed our whole conversation, but I think that's a really unique concept. So best of luck with all of that. But Brian, so great to meet you. God bless you and your family. And thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, again, thanks so much for inviting me to come on here and talk.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, we just did this 6 weeks ago, but when you've got a guest that has a wife and seven children, it's appropriate that we close this week's episode with the prayer for parents. So let's pray it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.